Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello. This is Blog Talk, yeah? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. We're already doing double duty today, Beeb. We had a show at 11. If you guys didn't catch that, please go catch that. That was really good. If I do say so myself, I mean, you know, I was, you know, in the show. So clearly, you know, it was a great show. All right, tonight on this show, we're going to talk about Triller. Does a monster PPV number with Jake Paul and Ben Askren. It was big. That's a big number. It was a huge number. We're going to talk about that. Eddie Hearn closes a huge deal with DAZN. But first, we are going to get, and also, too, Omar Juarez, due to join us today. But first, we are going to get started with ESPN, Emmanuel Navarrete versus Christopher Diaz for the WBO featherweight title. Navarrete beats Christopher Diaz by TKO in the 12th round. Navarrete is definitely an action fighter, and, you know, this was no exception. He knocked down Diaz twice in the 8th round, knocked him out in the 12th round to finish him off. He knocked him down, he got back up, and they immediately stopped the fight. Listen, he looked good in this fight, okay? He looked good, but, you know, they're talking about putting him against Shakur Stevenson, stuff like that. I think, and, you know, you break down fights a lot better than I do, but I think that Navarrete would have a real problem with a skilled, solid boxer like Shakur Stevenson, no?
You know, it's a good matchup, and I think both guys would have problems with each other because Navarrete goes without saying how unique his punch delivery is. And when you got a guy like Shakur Stevenson, who's pretty textbook, right? And he's going against a guy that's not so textbook.
Unorthodox.
So anyone that fights Navarrete, it's going to be kind of like a wake-up call for them. There's going to be an adaptation process that probably is going to last the whole fight because the way he delivers these punches, like when the way he throws his hook, he has his arm extended. Like when he's in his stance, he has that lead hand extended very, very far out. And he just twists his shoulders. And the way he throws that hook, it's almost like it's like a sickle. And it's so hard to just get used to that type of delivery, seeing a punch thrown that way. And because of that, a lot of these punches that he's throwing, people aren't used to, you know, the delivery process that they're being thrown at them. And then, you know, it's hard for them to just defend against these shots. The uppercut's another one, you know. And, you know, he gets criticized for just being unorthodox, but there's a method to his madness as well because you saw how he was throwing feints. That little right shoulder feint, and he dropped down, and then he came up with the uppercut. And also, too, it's the way he moves his shoulders. You don't know, he shimmies his shoulders a lot, and you don't know which punch is coming, if it's going to be the right or the left. So, you know, I think he's a lot more technically gifted in terms of, I don't want to say technically gifted, I think he's a lot more methodical than people give him credit for, a lot more comprehensive than people give him credit for, because everyone thinks he's just throwing these weird, unorthodox punches. It's almost like throwing spaghetti up against the wall, hoping something sticks. But when you look at the feints, you look at how he steps around and creates openings for himself, you know, the positioning, and how he can fight at a distance, and when he's up close, how he can squeeze those shots off with a little bit of space and still generate power. Hard for a tall guy to do that. So all these things that he's able to do, I just think they catch the opponent off guard, and a lot of times they don't have answers for it because they're just not used to seeing this type of style. Because he has one of the most unique fighting styles that I've ever seen. When you look at a lot of fighters, you can say, well, this guy fights like that guy. That guy fights like this guy. I can't point to any fighter out there that he has similarities to.
He's kind of all on his own island. You know, I mean, he really is. He's a different kind of fighter, and it makes it difficult to fight.
I don't know if you're into comics. Are you into comics at all, or Marvel, DC, stuff like that?
No, because I'm not 12.
Very disrespectful. Once again, you alienate a whole population, potential audience group for the show. But I don't know if you know the guy, the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic, the guy that can, like,
that sounds
stretch.
Like Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, but the guy that can stretch and stuff, and he can, like, extend his arms, and, like, Plastic Man's another one of those superheroes. He can just, like, stretch his arms. He reminds me of the way he moves his body. He twists, like the way he twists his upper body and the way he just throws punches and still is getting leverage on them. He's almost like Plastic Man. He's like Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. The way he can just contour his body in such a weird way and squeeze punches off. And I don't care who you are. Andre Ward said it perfectly last night. He's a tough out for anybody.
Yeah.
Can Shakur Stevenson beat him? Maybe.
I think
but
so.
But can Navarrete beat Shakur Stevenson? Maybe. So
I don't see it. I really don't. I think he would have a difficult time with a very disciplined, skilled boxer, a pure boxer, like a Gary Russell, like a Shakur Stevenson. I even think Leo Santa Cruz is somebody, you know, along those lines. I mean,
Yeah. Well, that's why they fight the fights, Eric. I mean,
that's right. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
You could be right.
Jamie Seven in the chat, I think this sums it up. This is right. Navarrete is an awkward genius. That's perfect, right? That's perfect, no?
Because, like, a lot of times when you see someone throw wide hooks, they torque it and they pull back with their arm. He doesn't pull back. He twists his shoulder and goes like that and turns it. He's not pulling back his arm. So his arm is like extended outward like this, and he's just twisting his shoulder throwing the punch.
Yeah, Jesus M. Says Barrera versus Hamed, remember. I think that's how I see it going. But again, you're right. That's why they fight the fights, because how many times have we been wrong? A lot. You know, we see the fight one way and it goes completely the opposite. That happens all the time. That's why there's paper and there's actual fights, man.
And, you know, give Diaz credit. Ounce of heart, intestinal fortitude this guy had. Everything he had, he put it out there yesterday.
He didn't pack it in. And his coach, his trainer, got up on the apron, stopped the fight. And afterwards, he said his coach is like a father to him. So for him to get up there and stop that fight was just like,
the ref was horrible in that fight.
I don't know. You know, listen, man, it's tough, but he's a championship fight. You know, refs have a tough job. Refs and judges have a very tough job because no one ever agrees with them 100% across the board. I get that.
Very true.
But.
Very true.
When you're in a championship fight, you have to have some fights under your belt, okay? You have to have some ring, rounds and fights under your belt. You know, sometimes these referees are working 2-3 a night. So, I mean, you know, listen, man, there's no – at the championship level, there's really no excuse for it. There's not. You know, if you see an undercard fight and everything, you got to let that go. But at the championship level, that's
– you know what else?
Tough, man.
You know what else is frustrating? This is what really frustrates me, because you're in there firsthand. You got the best seat in the house watching the fight. You're seeing how the fight developed and how it played out. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Diaz was way behind in that fight. So when you're officiating that fight as a referee, that has to be one of the factors in the back. Like if the fight's close, then that could be something that you say, oh, I don't want to be the guy to decide this fight. I don't want to be the controversial footnote to this fight, right? I don't want to be the asterisk. He needed a knockout to win. There was no way, judging by the body language and the beating he was taking in that final round, there was no way he was going to get that knockout. So there was no reason to let that fight continue on. Why should the corner have to throw the towel in? You know what I mean? It's just crazy to me.
Again, it goes back to the difficult choices. I mean, well, you know, we both sat ringside at fights before, you know, and you're at those tables. And, you know, we both sat ringside and we both sat, you know, in the deck. So you watch it from the deck and you're like, oh, wow, you know, it doesn't look as bad as it looks. When you're ringside for that fight, I mean, you're seeing shots that sweat's flying off. I mean, every shot looks like a big shot when you get hit. And you see stuff that the camera doesn't necessarily catch. So when you're a referee and you see the other guy who's getting beat, throw a shot, hit him with that, you know, it's all subjective. You're like, maybe he does have a shot. And you have a clear, as a referee, he's got a clear view of what's going on in there, whether he can go or whether he can't. And sometimes they make the right call, sometimes they don't. But, it's a subjective thing.
If I was the trainer, I probably would have pulled him out maybe in the ninth or tenth round.
Yeah, that eighth round was a tough one for him, knocked down twice and everything like that. That was a tough one. So
he just got progressively worse as the fight wore on. After the eighth round, it was significantly worse, I should say.
Yeah.
And, I probably would have pulled the plug earlier. I think this fight ruined him, to be perfectly honest. I don't think he'll ever be the same after this fight.
I don't think so either, but he was brought in. I mean, you know, listen, did anybody expect this guy to win?
No, but it's one thing losing, and it's one thing losing, and it's another thing getting systematically taken apart.
Absolutely. No, I would completely agree with you on that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. This probably took multiple years off his career. There's no question about it in my mind.
Yeah. For sure.
Time will tell.
One of those things when we looked at this on paper, I was like, you know, he wasn't going to win this fight. I mean,
it was a tough assignment.
Yeah. This was a little less than a showcase. Wasn't exactly a showcase fight, but it wasn't exactly, he was meant to win this. Let's talk about Edgar Berlanga versus Damon Nicholson, super middleweights here. Edgar Berlanga ends his KO streak, but wins a unanimous decision over Damon Nicholson. Scores were 79-68 and 79-69 twice. Berlanga was pushed in this fight, forced to go the distance for the first time in his career. And honestly, man, this is exactly the type of fight he needed. I really believe that. You know, he needed to go the rounds. Those first round knockouts were doing him no good. Just for experience, you know, this is the kind of fight that he absolutely needed. And I thought he dominated the fight. I thought he clearly won. He was knocking the guy down and around and everything. But again, what do we always say? What are you going to do if you're a power guy and you don't have that power to get the other guy out of there? Somebody's going to be able to take your shots. It just happens, you know. Somebody's going to be able to take it. I think that, this was a good fight for him. He showed me a lot in this fight. I still think he needs work, no question. He needs work. Jesse Hart, prior to this fight, had called out Berlanga. I think that's a fight I'd like to see.
They'll never fight him.
No, they're not going to fight him. But I think it's a good fight for him. And I think Berlanga can win, but I also think Jesse Hart can win.
Yeah.
Hart's a very, very good fighter.
Yeah, I agree.
Berlanga...
I will say a couple things. Obviously, he needs to develop, but I saw a couple things that I actually really liked last night. The jab is very consistent, so it's not like he's just throwing wild shots. He's setting everything up behind the jab, which is great. Also, too, I notice he's able to squeeze off shots, and when he's in a position where you wouldn't think he'd be able to do it. And the variation of the punches he throws. So in other words, his right hand it looked like he was smothered up there. And that, but what he did was he kind of opened it up a little bit, and he just, like, turned it almost. It wasn't quite a hook, and it wasn't quite a real looping shot. He opened it up just enough where he could get a little bit of space behind it and get some and create some leverage for himself. And then he just threw it like it was almost like a very short looping shot, but very little loop to it, in other words. And Golovkin throws the right hand like that sometimes too, where he just kind of comes and he throws it like sidearm almost, but he doesn't really open it up wide. So it had a little bit of a loop to it, but it wasn't excessively wide, you know. And that, and he threw a hook in that fight too, where it looked like he wouldn't be able to have enough space to do that. But it was almost like a 6-inch hook, sort of like with the types of punches George Foreman used to throw, where he just would only need that little bit of space. So what he's hurting guys with either hand, and he's hurting guys with variation type punches. So it's not like when you look at a guy like Deontay Wilder, like he's just a big right hand guy. He kind of throws it the same way all the time. You know, certain guys have those signature punches,
right?
But he has variations of these shots. So he's got many variations of the right hand, many variations of the left hook, many variations of the uppercut. So that hook that he threw basically was a 6-inch hook, but he's still able to hurt guys with it, or at least at this level. Now, what we need to see is, as you said, when he's not getting a reaction from these punches and the guy keeps coming at him, and he has to reset quick because there's no freeze in the action from the guy having to recover from you hitting him. You're not able to freeze the guy in his tracks. You're not able to incapacitate somebody or disrupt somebody's rhythm because you're knocking them off their kilter, right? What's going to happen? Because those are the good things I saw. Here's one weakness. He's not incredibly fluid with his combinations.
No.
You know what I mean? He's not a real smooth type guy, you know. He's a guy that's kind of a clubber. And, you know, he'll throw the right hand and left hook. But there's a little bit of timing difference to it. There's a little bit of space. There's a little bit of it's not like boom, boom. There's a little bit of a delay in between the two punches, in other words. They're not real fluid, quick.
Yeah.
Canelo, when you look at Canelo, he's like, pop, pop, pop. He's very fluid and gets the shots off quick, and there's no time space in between the punches, whereas there's kind of a delay between the punches with this guy. So what that tells me is someone could punch in between the combination. You know what I mean? So when the right hand's coming off and the left hand's coming behind it, it's not coming real quick behind it. There's a little bit of a drop off in the timing.
Yeah, and that goes down to technique. That's technique, though.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? So that can be fixed.
Maybe, but maybe not, because
really,
it's muscle memory, too. Like,
yeah.
Because he's not a fast twitch guy. He's kind of like that natural clubber. You know, like some guys just generate power because of their fast twitch explosiveness, and other guys just generate, they just have that man strength. Like Foreman wasn't really an explosive guy.
He was just heavy-handed. Jesus.
He has that. He's a clubbing-type power puncher. He's like a Foreman-type power. He's not a Mike Tyson-type power. So that's the difference. Because you remember how fluid Tyson was with his combinations. Where George Foreman, he would be like, boom, he'd throw the right hand, and then, you know, there would be a little bit of a time delay, and then the left hook would come behind it, where Tyson was like, boom, boom. Moving forward, if he lands the right hand, And he's not able to knock that guy off balance, not able to freeze the guy, not able to stun somebody where they can't fire back, then while he's setting up that left hook and in between that time delay, someone's going to jump in between that combination and fire off, is what I'm trying to say. So you're 100% right. But the thing is he just naturally heavy-handed, gifted, and no matter who he hits, like Ivan Drago, what he hit, easy strikes. We don't know that, but there's gotta be one person that does take the shots. Just like there was one guy that could go the distance. This guy went the distance. Now, at some point, there's gonna be a guy that does take the punches. Can he exploit that time delay in between the punches? I don't know if you noticed that too. Do you notice that those when he throws the right hand, then there's like a little bit of time delay before the left. He doesn't just shoot the left hook right behind it.
Yeah, it just looks like he needs work to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It just looks like, you know, when you watch Canelo and everything like that, I mean, he's, you know, he's just, his technique is almost flawless at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Some people were mentioning that this guy's not ready for Canelo and he's not ready for Benavidez.
You think?
Yeah, it must be tough being a genius out there. You know, I guess people were talking about him fighting Canelo. Come on now, stop it. Stop.
But you made a good point. That Jesse Hart fight, Jesse Hart lost a couple in a row.
It's a good fight.
He lost a couple in a row. He's not, and here's another thing too. He's not a real gigantic puncher.
Yeah.
So the chances are that maybe you can take the shots. Obviously, you don't want to, but if you had to, you could take them. And he stands there. He's right there to be hit because he'll stand there in the pocket and trade with you. You know, that actually may be maybe not the next fight, but the fight after, that would be a good fight.
I was thinking that too. I was like, I wonder if he needs a tune-up before that. I would like to see him, you know, jump up a little bit more in talent and then fight a guy like Jesse. Because Jesse Hart right now for him is a big step up. It's a big
You also made another good point. Could it be just a technique thing? Because he's hitting the guy and waiting for the reaction because he's so used to hurting guys.
You're right. He's like admiring the work, yeah.
Or could he – maybe he could tighten it up a little bit where he is more – he could improve on the fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never – I don't think he'll ever be like a Canelo fluidity type – have that Canelo flow to his combinations. But
no.
Maybe he could get sharper. Well, all good points on your end, and time will tell, you know, if you're right.
Yeah, he's got an upside to him, put it that way.
Yeah.
He's no longer, you know, if he would have knocked this guy out in the first round, it's like, come on, man. I'm glad he got to see him, and he went the distance, you know.
But like I said, if you're just, you know, generating power from with a six-inch punch, you're just knocking guys down just by tapping them on the top of the head, then you must have some type of naturally gifted power.
Yeah, I mean, and we know he's got power. I mean, that's, you know. But just like anything, anybody can hit hard. You know what I mean? I mean, at the end of the day, anybody can hit hard, you know? And anybody, if they clip you in a certain way, they can put you out. But again, man, it's when you're dealing with guys who can do the same thing you can, there's got to be some finesse to it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Xander Zayas and DeMarcus Layton. Xander Zayas, I believe, is only 18. He was top ranks signed him. This guy is 18, I believe he's 18, and continues to impress. He had a first-round TKO over DeMarcus Layton. He hit him with a left hand that got everything started. Within 30 seconds, he had Layton up against the ropes and was just pounding him, knocked him down. He got back up, and the referee immediately stopped the fight. I didn't think it was I think the referee might have saw him stumble or something like that when he got up. I don't think it was a quick stoppage. I mean, the writing was on the wall. He was getting murdered in there. Zayas is moving pretty quick, and he seems to have all the tools. He really does. He looks good. He looks real good. I think we got Robert on the line here, ringside Robert. Let's go to him real quick. 530,
hello, guys.
You're live.
How are you? How are you guys?
Robbie, what's the word?
Oh, not much. It's pouring down rain here, just a typical Sunday evening. But that was a very good fight card last night on ESPN. I didn't have high hopes for the Navarrete-Diaz fight. I didn't think it would be much of a fight. It turned out to be a lot better than I thought it would. And I'd like to see Navarrete fight Stevenson. I'd like to see him move up because every fight he's been in at 122 and 126, so far he's handled them pretty easily. And I don't see anybody at 120. Since you can't get Gary Russell in the ring, can't get Gary Russell in the ring, since he doesn't like to fight only once a year, then kind of move up and go
stop.
to go to Stevenson.
Hey, where is Gary Russell at? I mean, when's the last time he even fought?
He's in the missing in action or secret witness program. I think the last time he fought was, what, last April or last May?
Yeah, something like that. It's
How in the hell can a sanctioning body allow this dude to keep his title? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I think I like this Stevenson fight. I hope that happens.
Yeah, I think that's a good fight. I mean, I'd like to see it.
Yep. I want to, me and Beeb had a conversation earlier this week, and we were talking about the upcoming pay-per-view with Ruiz and Areola. At first when I heard about it, I'm like, oh, who's going to buy that? But you know what? I got to thinking about it. Since they lowered the price and they've actually made it cheaper than normally what pay-per-views are, this is a good time to send boxing people a message to go ahead and buy the pay-per-view since it's lower priced, because if enough people buy it, maybe in the future when they decide to put things on pay-per-view, they will no longer be $75 or $80.
Son, it's a lousy card. Why would you buy this?
Yeah, well, number one, I have a disease, you know. So...
Don't steal my line.
He's got herpes.
Don't steal my line. Okay, I have the disease. I have the sickness.
Do you use a breather for your cold sores?
Robbie, you know what I was gonna tell you? Robbie, you know what I was gonna tell you? You were asking why does Gary Russell not get stripped? And the thing is this, you gotta look at the sanctioning body, the title that he holds, WBC. That sanctioning body never strips anybody. They never enforce their mandatories. They allowed Deontay Wilder to not have that fight as mandatory. 2 years went by before they enforced his mandatory. So that's why Gary Russell doesn't get stripped. The IBF or the WBA, he would have got stripped.
He said, I know. Reese Mack in the chat says, we criticize Robbie for not buying fights. Now he buys one and he still gets criticized.
That's right. That's right.
The problem with Eric is he'll never be happy with Robbie.
No.
I embrace Robbie. When he calls in, I welcome him with open arms. Eric is like, you know, he treats him like a Jehovah's Witness knocking on his door. He doesn't want to talk to him.
That's right.
No, seriously.
At first when I heard about this, I'm like, I'm not going to buy that. But the more I got to thinking about it and I realized they lowered the price, I'm thinking, you know what? It's time to send boxing people a message, because maybe if enough people buy this, I'm not impressed with the card either, I think we might be able to start getting fights cheaper in the future.
But Robbie, what else did we talk about?
The only reason this fight is $59 versus $80 or $90 or whatever they charge for them now.
$55,
Eric. The only reason, whatever, all right?
Okay.
It's a lousy card.
Yeah, but even Bob Arum was saying that he would consider start lowering the pay-per-view prices for fights.
How about you put them on ESPN Plus?
Why don't we just do that? Now, look,
Robbie... Robbie, what else did we talk about, Robbie? Here's another thing
What did you guys talk about?
Eric, please.
I'm asking questions.
Remember we also – there's also a curiosity factor about how Andy Ruiz is going to look coming back.
Yeah, because this new version
of Andy Ruiz.
What he's going to look like, because he's with Eddie Reynoso, we're going to see if Eddie Reynoso has been able to
make
any kind of change.
Robbie's dropping gems today. He's killing you today, Eric.
Killing me.
He's killing you. He is putting pigeonholes through all your theories today.
Pigeonholes?
Yeah.
That's right. Pigeonholes.
Holes.
Respect the accent. Respect the accent. Respect the act.
Wrong box, then.
That's right. Oh. But No.
Different dialect down here. Different dialect.
That's okay. What do you expect? You know?
So you're actually going to buy this fight, Robert?
Yes, I am.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
So what did So let me ask you a question, Robert. So we had a debate on here today with Nate Campbell. You remember Nate Campbell?
Of course I do, yeah.
Journeyman lightweight?
Yeah.
All right. So Nate Campbell threw out a challenge to Logan Paul today.
No, Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, excuse me. I kept getting those two confused all day.
Yeah, I do.
They're twins. They're from Ohio. I'm from Ohio. Anyway, I think Jake Paul beats Nate Campbell. What are your thoughts on that, Robert?
Oh, I totally agree with that. And also, Jake Paul has called out Nate Diaz also.
Love it, son.
Yeah.
See, Robbie rides with Ohio, Beeb. That's the thing. I want you to smarten up, Beeb. All right? Because Robbie rides with Ohio. He's ride or die with Ohio. You know what I'm saying? That's how we rolling over here. We're rolling
heavy,
son.
And Eric, Eric, once I learn how to use my brand new TV that I got hooked up today, I'm going to be up on so many fights, you won't be able to talk about anything anymore that I won't know anything about.
That's right.
Love it.
That's right.
I love it.
That's right.
I love it.
It's going to be an boxing encyclopedia.
I heard Robbie got like an 80-inch screen TV. How nutty is that? That's what I heard. Now, listen, you don't have to cooperate. Listen, I'm just saying that's what I heard. My people tell me that's what I heard.
Well, whatever you heard, Eric, I got two of them. So this house is going to be covered.
You got two of them, son.
Yeah. What do you think? He's just going to buy one?
Two of them, son.
That's
he's going
right.
to have one in the bathroom. He's going to be waking up in the morning, brushing his teeth, watching television in the bathroom, Daddy.
That's how he's living.
That's how
he's living.
Yeah. But, no, I agree. On the surface, I think this card is going to be lousy. And I hope to God we don't see
Bobby,
Areola.
Please be optimistic, Robbie. Be optimistic.
I hope to God
be
we don't see Chris Areola seriously get hurt. But, you know, I'm going to enjoy the fights for as long as they last.
There you go. I love it. I love it. All right. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here.
One other question, guys, before I get out of here. How seriously do you take the report that Mark Kriegel put out last night on ESPN about Joshua and Fury on July 24th?
Not very serious. I don't take it. Why?
So, yeah, you think it's another smoke screen being put up
because
by somebody?
I don't take it very serious. I need contracts. I need signed contracts.
Okay.
Then I'm hearing Frank Warren saying that we have no. I'm hearing Frank Warren saying that we got an offer. It needed to be amended, and we need to have it sent back to us. Then I also heard Frank Warren say, well, we had a late offer come in on Wednesday that we have to look at. This fight's not done yet.
Stop it, babe. You're just being negative, Nelly.
No, I didn't say it was done.
Not done yet.
But we've criticized Kriegel, and I wanted to make sure that he was recording.
Mark Kriegel is looking for confirmation bias. Mark Kriegel
always criticizing Mark Kriegel.
Yeah.
Always.
Mark Kriegel is looking for confirmation bias, just like he always does.
All right, guys, I'll let you go.
He wants instant gratification like the rest of those nuts on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all them.
Okay.
Horrible human being.
All right, that's why I asked.
All right,
questions.
Robert. Okay. That's it. That's why you ask.
All right, Robbie.
And he gets, you know, he gets these family.
Tell Mrs. Herrick I wish you the best.
Oh, stop it. What am you?
I spoke to her the other day on the phone.
She's a nice lady. Very nice
Very lady. Nice lady. What are you talking about?
Would you give her a hard time when you called?
No, I was telling the story about how Robbie blew the paper, boxing TV results in the day. She agreed with me that it was wrong.
Yeah. What did she do? What did she do?
No, I mean, she took desserts away from him for a week. That was it. She was going to cut his TV down in 1 hour a day, but I said, no, just take the desserts away.
You should have cut his TV down, quite honestly. That's what you should have
done. Man.
Well, that's up to him. I mean, he's the one who, you know.
And he has to do the dishes on Sunday.
That's only fair. That's only fair. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys.
And again,
up?
Maybe you're not. All right,
you. Notch, hello? Notch, wake up.
Hey,
Notch,
wake up.
Come on, Notch, why don't you settle this debate for us?
Notch,
why don't
wake
you settle
up.
This debate for us? I know, yeah. I go to him, you know, former caller of the year. He just disrespects us, Beeb. We say 805, you're live, and he just disrespects us. Just like he's waiting to come on, like his own intro or something like that.
You know, drink a cappuccino before the show starts if you can't stay awake.
That's right. I agree with you, Steve.
Who do you guys think I am, Jason, that I need an intro? Come on now.
Oh,
I don't need all of that.
That's
I don't need
up.
The
wow.
I don't need the intro, unlike some other so-called callers.
All right, so let me ask you a question here, because we had a hotly contested debate earlier on today. We had Nate Campbell on the show, and he called out Jake Paul in a fight. Now, you remember Nate Campbell, right?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so Nate Campbell called out Jake Paul. You think Jake Paul, is 190 pounds. He washes Nate Campbell, right?
No, I think Nate Campbell could beat him.
Right.
Even at his advanced age.
He could, but does he?
I think
he
could still beat
him. Does he? Does he beat him?
I think he could. I think he could.
Do you think Jake Paul could also win that fight?
No, no way. I'm not convinced that
Jake Paul's
a real fighter.
You don't think he beats Nate Campbell?
No.
You're talking to a guy who really – You're talking to a guy who really understands the sport, Eric. You're not talking to some – friggin' tutti frutti fly by nighter on Twitter. Okay?
I was talking to Nate Campbell early.
You're not talking to some ham and egger on friggin' Instagram. You're talking to a real boxing
ham
fan.
And egger.
All right?
Yeah.
Please.
There you go.
You're not talking to some lackey here.
All right, so we got one for Jake Paul. We got one for Nate Campbell.
Yeah. I think if you give Nate Campbell enough time to get ready, I think he could beat Jake Paul. I'm not convinced Jake Paul's a real fighter.
How much time does
he
need?
Yeah.
How much time would you give him to get ready? I mean, given the fact he hasn't fought in years.
Oh, you just give him a regular camp like anybody else, like 8 to 10 weeks. I think he could whip up on Jake Paul at this point.
8 to 10 weeks?
Yeah.
Jake
I mean,
Paul's
that's how
taking
long
guys on like
guys
2 days' notice.
Ah, come on, Eric. Really? We're really going to sit there and compare Nate Campbell, a former world champion, to Ben Askren? Come on. Come on,
Ben
Eric, I expect better out of you.
He was, you know, he was undefeated for a little bit, you know? He was undefeated for a time.
Yeah, but not in boxing, he wasn't. So,
he was undefeated in boxing.
Yeah, I was undefeated, too,
Jake
in middle school.
Paul took a zero.
What does that mean? I was undefeated, too, in middle school. What does that matter now?
So, yeah, I think Nate Campbell could still whip up on Jake Paul, even at this advanced stage in his career. I don't think Jake Paul could touch him, to be honest. I think Jake Paul.
You see how
Jake
Nate
Paul's
looked today, man? He was ripped.
He looked like he was in shape still. Like he could still fight. That's what I'm saying. Like he's not.
See him?
He's not some
he's,
over.
He's,
yeah,
he's biceps,
not over
man.
I don't doubt that he could have knocked out anybody at that flea market he was at today. But, you know, we're talking Jake Paul here, son.
Come on, Eric.
You never been a. You ever see those the flea markets down there, man? When you try to buy something, you gotta get. You gotta fight through all these people.
Hey, there's some tough people.
No joke down there.
Oh no. Oh no.
You think it's a cakewalk going to the flea market?
I don't know. That's why you don't see me there. I'm not getting involved in that stuff. No way.
Thank God for Amazon, man.
Tough guy.
Thank God for Amazon.
Not,
you think I want to go down there?
I'm not going in that flea market. Crazy.
Fight over stuff.
Yeah.
Notch, what'd you think of Belanga?
I mean, I think he needed the 8 rounds. I give Nicholson a lot of credit. He was able to, you know, withstand the punishment early. He was able to move around and pick his spots to, you know, fight against him. And Berlanga, the biggest problem with him right now is that every punch he throws like he's just trying to decapitate guys. And that's one thing that he needs to learn not to do is that you don't need to throw full power every single time you're trying to hit a guy. You just gradually build up as the fight goes along. You break the guy down slowly, and then at the end is when you take him out. And that's what he needs to learn first.
Right,
but I mean, I give the kid, I give the kid a lot of credit. He went 8 rounds.
Teach him, Notch. Teach him.
He, he went eight rounds. He got he got tested by a tough veteran fighter, and he's only going to get better as the competition steps up. I think. I don't think that this kid is, because if the kid was not a legit fighter, I think at some point he would have already been kind of, shown for what he was. But I think he showed last night that he's going to be in it for the long haul. He just needs to tweak certain things about his style. I think if they show him how to fight on the inside a little bit better, go to the body a little bit better, and not throw so many full power shots every single time that, he's hitting a guy, I think he'll be all right. It's just like you guys said, I think they need to gradually step up the competition as he goes along. I wouldn't mind seeing Jesse Hart, but I think there's other guys that, might be viable options before Jesse Hart. Maybe somebody like Lionel Thompson, somebody like that, I think could be a viable option. Another veteran who, has got a lot of seasoning and he's kind of crafty in there. He's got to get guys that are going to give him different looks right now more than anything, because for the first 16 fights, he had nothing but dudes who could just stand in front of him and he'd beat the hell out of him. And last night was the first guy who actually didn't stand in front of him and was able to move around. And Berlanga still dropped the guy four times. That's the part that impressed me the most. I mean, if his power wasn't real prior to last night's fight, according to some people, then I think last night proved his power is legit. I mean, he was dropping the guy, in different rounds of the fight. So it's not like he's a guy who's a front runner and is good for three or four rounds and then all of a sudden his power just disappears. It looked like the kid's got legit power as the fight goes along. He just needs to kind of harness everything, and I think he'll be all right. They just got to move him in the right direction opponents-wise. And then as far as the main event, Navarrete, that style of his is just going to be really tough for anybody to figure out. That guy is so awkward and so herky-jerky, and the way he throws punches from, unbelievable, distance and still is able to hit guys and hit them pretty flush, that's just going to be a tough, tough recipe for somebody to beat him. And to be honest, the guys that are at 26, I mean, maybe the only guy I'm thinking of that he could legitimately, maybe might give him a legit fight would be the guy that's with Golden Boy, Zoukan. He might be the most legit guy that is available, because all the other 26-pounders are kind of aligned with the PBC right now, with Russell and Ray Vargas and some of those other dudes. So I don't know if he gets a chance to fight any of those guys. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him take on, or he could take on maybe the Lara kid, the one that just beat Warrington, That might be a good fight as well. But his options at 26 are going to be kind of, limited as he goes along. So I don't see him staying at 26 very long. I think eventually
that's what I'm talking about, moving up to 130 to fight Shakur.
Yeah, he's going to move up to 30 at some point. I think he's going to have to,
Think he beat Shakur?
Yeah.
You think he beat Shakur, Nacho?
No.
Nacho, you think he beat Shakur?
I think he has a chance, Beeb, but it's going to be...
I'm going to pick him.
He's going to have to really, go after Shakur, though. He can't try to box with Shakur. He's going to have to be super aggressive and go after him. And I think that's the only way you're going to beat Shakur. If you try to box with Shakur, you're going to lose. There's just no way you can beat
Shakur.
Yeah, Shakur
walks that guy. It's fine.
Yeah. If he tries to box with him, he loses.
That's not.
So,
yeah.
Nope. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, I think Navarrete is going to be a problem for anybody at 26, and then we'll see what he is at 30. And, real quick, I just wanted to comment on Robbie talking about the whole, if we buy crappy pay-per-view cards at a lower price, that means the promoters will start giving us good pay-per-view cards for less money. Robbie, I love you, but that's not going to happen. These pay-per-view cards are sold at a price for a reason, and the PBC knows why they're selling it at that, because they know that if they tried to sell it at $75, nobody was going to buy that card. So they knew they had to drop the
price.
$55
now, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's like $50.
They're basically telling you it's not a great pay-per-view by selling it at that price.
Yeah, that's 100% what they're doing. 100%
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what I don't understand why Robbie doesn't see that that's what they're doing. It's that you lower the price.
He's been off his game.
Card.
He's been off his game a little bit lately.
Oh, okay.
That's cold blood.
So,
all right, Nacho, we're gonna get running, man.
All right, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, Robbie's been off his game. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? You're just telling how much, you know, you're schooling me, and now he's off his game. What's the matter with
you? You got to give him positive reinforcement. You got to give him, you know, just so we, you know. You got to give him the means to get better.
Stop it. Just
gotta
stop
give him,
it.
Got to motivate him a little bit.
What's the matter with you?
Got to equip him to do better.
All right, let's go over the fight schedule here. April 30th. What is that, Friday? I don't know. ESPN Plus, Maludi Thelane versus Sonny Edwards, 12 rounds for Thelane's IBF. Michael Conlan against Ionut Baluta, 10 rounds, junior featherweight. Nobody's watching it. Why? Come on.
It's Friday night, so I don't know.
I don't care. I'm not watching it. Come on, stop. Put something on my TV. May 1st, from Carson, California, Fox pay-per-view. Andy Ruiz Jr. versus Chris Areola, 12 rounds heavyweights. Sebastian Fundora versus Jorge Cota, 12 rounds junior middleweights. And Arislandi Lara versus Thomas Lamana, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA regular middleweight championship. Is Lara versus Lamana, is that on the pay-per-view? I thought I read that was going to be on, whatchamacallit, Fox.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I wonder how many fights are on that pay-per-view.
Usually it's four fights on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, typically. Omar Figueroa Jr. is on the card. Let's see here. Adrian Granados is on the card. Yeah, so let's come back to that in a second. May 1st, on DAZN from Manchester, England, Derek Chisora versus Joseph Parker. That's going to be a good fight. 12 rounds heavyweights. Dimitri Bivol versus Craig Richards. 12 rounds for Bivol's WBA light heavyweight title. And Katie Taylor versus Natasha Jonas. 12 rounds for Taylor's WBC, WBO, IBF, WBA women's lightweight title. Chris Eubank Jr. making his return against Marcus Morrison. 10 rounds middleweights. Campbell Hatton, Ricky's son, coming back versus the dreaded TBA. That's a good card. That's a better card. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a better card than that pay-per-view card, son. Am I wrong?
I hate to agree with you.
That's a better card than that pay-per-view, son.
It really is.
Right? Come on, man. That's a better card. It's a better card all the way around.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. This Fox pay-per-view card. I don't know how many fights are going to be on it. Typically, there's four fights on it, but I thought I saw that Lamana and Lara were fighting on Fox, like Big Fox. But I don't know. I could be wrong. But
they usually put the undercard on.
Like a lead-in or something like that.
Or Fox Sports 1, I think they do the undercard.
Yeah, something like
that.
So I don't know, man. And Chris Areola, listen, man, I was a big fan of the guy back in the day. Listen, your time is done. All right, how they got this guy to fight again on a big stage? Let him get his
money, Eric. Please.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's let him get his money. But I mean, he ain't getting my money because I'm not watching this thing.
Eric, you know what's gonna happen?
What's gonna happen? You better rely on that Biden stimulus money.
Come Saturday, right?
Please.
You're gonna be like, damn, I got nothing to do here.
I gotta watch.
I got nothing to do. You know what? You're gonna cave.
I am.
You know what?
I know I will.
Stop putting up this front and trying to, you know,
what's gonna happen?
Mislead the public. I did one time, right? When they announced that Mayweather-Madonna fight,
it actually was
a really good fight.
Yeah.
But I thought, when they first announced it, I thought it was such a mismatch.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I'm not going to buy that. So I didn't buy it, right? But then I started, like, sitting there, and I started shaking. Like I had like a freaking something was bothering me and I was like, I had to buy the pay-per-view, man. Like I have a condition, man. I'm addicted to pay-per-views, man. I started freaking having like an episode. I was taking an anxiety attack, thinking about what's happened, what's going on with this pay-per-view. I had to buy it. That's when I knew I had a sickness. The one time I tried to not buy a pay-per-view and I started shaking, I started sweating, started getting hot flashes, and I had to buy it. I had to buy it. Sorry.
Listen, if you're asking me for a recommendation, would I buy this fight? No. No, I would not. The undercard is not really that great either. I mean, Jorge Cotto, Sebastian Fundora, I could take or leave that fight. That's not a pay-per-view fight. That's not a pay-per-view undercard. Arislandi Lara versus Thomas Lamana, again, that's not an undercard. You know, that's not a pay-per-view caliber type of fight. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. Listen, man, I'm not a big fan of the card. I'm not a big fan of the main event here. Even the main event, I'm not a big fan of. That's a mismatch. Anybody you ask, it's a complete mismatch.
But, Eric, you've never been a fan of pay-per-views anyways.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
All right.
That's very true. But I buy them all the time.
You do.
I'm not a big fan, but I buy them all the time. But this one right here, again, Andy Ruiz with Chris Arreola, this is a complete mismatch, man.
Robbie said that he hopes Chris Arreola doesn't get hurt, and I agree with him. I really am worried about Chris Arreola, to be honest with you.
Right, and why you would throw him in there against this guy makes zero sense. You know, and that's what gets me about this. It just doesn't set well with me. It really doesn't. It's just not a good look for pay-per-view, I'll tell you that. So, all right, let's go to the news and rumors. Jake Paul versus Ben Askren on Triller. According to TalkSport, this card did a 1.5 buy rate. That is a ton of pay-per-views, man. Nobody in boxing can really make a run at this number right now. I mean, realistically, nobody can even touch this number, with the exception of Canelo, who fights on DAZN, so he can't touch a number anyway. What match in boxing could even touch this number?
Well, according to all these haters on Twitter, the number is fake, but how can you prove it's fake? Is everyone else's numbers fake too?
Yeah, I've heard between 1.3 and 1.5. That's what I've heard. Those are the two consistent numbers that I've had.
I mean, it was a big event. Whether you liked it or you hated it, you have to acknowledge that it did get a lot of attention.
It's a big event, right?
I mean, Jake Paul was on ESPN the other day on Max on Boxing. So.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Come on. They were talking about the fight on Fox Sports. They were talking about the fight on all those ESPN shows, First Take and all that stuff, Undisputed on Fox. Everyone was talking about the fight. So
you may not like it, but listen, it is what it is.
And then you have idiots on YouTube saying, talking about how bad the fight was, but you streamed it. You know?
Of course.
Big John McCarthy has a podcast, and I love Big John McCarthy. He has a podcast with another UFC fighter. I forget his name, Josh something.
Thompson.
And Josh Thompson,
yeah.
Correct. They have a podcast together. And they're sitting there bragging about how they streamed the fight on Saturday. These are two grown married men who are probably – John McCarthy's got to be a millionaire.
For sure.
Josh probably is as well. Right? And they're bragging about streaming fights. And so you can't afford to buy a pay-per-view. And if the pay-per-view is so bad, then why'd you even take the time
right
out of your Saturday night when you could be out with your wife or your family doing something, right? You can go out and do something else, right? But you stayed home on a Saturday night and you streamed the fight just so the next day you can go on your podcast and say how crappy it was, how horrible the production was. Then why did you even watch it? You knew what you were getting before you watched it.
Yeah.
What were the expectations? And all these people, you got this goofball on Twitter saying, my source says that it did in between 300,000 and 500,000. Again, there's always going to be someone that doesn't like, remember the PB, you've been to PBC events, correct? You've covered them before,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
What used to be the rumor all the time? Oh, PBC events, they're all papered. No one's buying a ticket. You were there. You said the crowd was filled.
Crowd was good. It's a good crowd.
So there's one person that doesn't like something, and automatically they come out with something negative about it. They say it to a writer or something. Like, for instance, one of the press people at PBC who's anti-PBC, one of the press members covering an event, says, "Oh, I bet you this event's paper. I bet you no one paid for the tickets." So then someone hears that, and they run with it and make a story out of it. Oh, PBC had a non-paid audience of 3,000 people, and not many people actually paid for the tickets. It was a papered event. So anyone can say anything. There's a lot of people who are negative towards certain entities. So if you're an anti-PBC guy and you're a pro top rank guy and you're in the crowd and you're covering the event, you're going to say something negative about PBC. Boxing has turned into factions, turned into surrogate. People, they're not boxing writers, not boxing writers anymore. They're surrogates. They turned into surrogates.
I don't
understand. You know what I mean?
Like,
there's teams.
Yeah, I don't understand this whole team mentality. You know, I really don't.
And then you got people picking and choosing what stories they want to believe because it's confirmation bias for them.
Yeah.
Listen, either everyone's lying about their pay-per-view numbers or everyone's telling the truth.
Right.
Because how could freaking UFC and everybody else be telling the truth? UFC is not a publicly traded company. There's no way of finding out who's lying and who's telling the truth.
You trust them, but you don't trust others. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Stop.
It doesn't make sense.
Stop it.
Confirmation bias.
There you go. Also, too, Regis Prograis, who fought on the undercard of that Triller, he had his win changed. I think he won a technical decision or something like that, and he had his win changed to a TKO after Ivan Redcatch faked an injury in their fight. I mean, it was clear faked an injury. The fact that they overturned that, okay, tells you everything you need to know. That was a complete fake injury. He completely faked it. Not that we didn't already know that. We already knew that. But the fact that they overturned it, that's a big deal.
Kind of feel bad for Prograis in that situation.
Because
he was on a nice event that he wanted to shine in, and then you got to deal with this guy, you know.
I think he did, though. I think he did perfect. I thought if you're looking for him to shine, I mean, he won every dominated that fight. He shined in that. I'd want to see him again. If I was in that audience, I'd definitely want to see him again.
Yeah, he did make a good account of himself.
For sure.
I wish he was able to have the opportunity to get the clean knockout and not have to deal with that. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Logan Paul from Ohio, versus Floyd Mayweather on June 5th, kind of, maybe. They seem to have rescheduled their whole thing. I said it was announced this week that Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather would fight on June 5th. However, there's a problem here. That's the same night as the Triller card featuring Evander Holyfield and Teofimo Lopez. Now, Steven Espinosa has come out and said that there is no venue or no date set for that yet. And I got to lean toward I believe him, because them putting that on the same Triller card, you have two pay-per-views on that night, dueling pay-per-view, that doesn't go well for anybody.
Then our old friend Mike Harbinger tweets out, sources say it's being moved to Sunday, June 6th. And then Steven Espinosa totally contradicts that and says there's no date and venue yet.
Yeah, I don't know why they put it on a Sunday. I mean, I know the WWE runs on Sunday, but I don't know if this would really work for them.
This Carpenter guy is out of control.
Oh, stop it, Steve. He's a reporter.
He's out of control.
He's a reporter. He's like the Lois Lane of boxing. Top reporter. You like comics? This should appeal to you. Anywho.
Oh, God.
Eddie Hearn reaches a deal with DAZN. Your boy, Mike Coppinger, is reporting that Eddie Hearn has a deal with DAZN in the nine-figure range, B. Go marinate on that.
Eddie says he doesn't have the deal yet.
Oh, stop.
Did you hear him on IFL? He said the deal's not done.
Oh, now the deal's not done. Let me tell you what. The deal's done for Fury and Joshua. He's over there spouting off, that deal is done.
Nothing's done.
I don't agree. I don't.
And then he's on. And then he's on Twitter arguing with Eddie. Eddie said told IFL that he talked to Coppinger and said a lot of that stuff you said in that article is not true. Okay. He said we haven't signed the deal yet. We're still mulling it over. And you know what Coppinger says to him? Oh, my, you're not telling the truth, Eddie. My source is telling me otherwise. So Eddie is the guy who's actually working the deal, like negotiating with these guys, right? But Eddie's lying.
Eddie's lying.
Your source is telling the truth because you want your source to be right. Once again, surrogate. These guys are bigoted. You know why? Because they just have their own group and they're anti everything else.
Well, I think you just want to see the worst in people, Beeb.
You know what? If that's what I have to see, that's what I have to see. Right?
Now they say, now the rumor is, according to this, that he's leaving Sky Sports. All right, and he's taking his entire stable with him, with the exception of Dillian White and Anthony Joshua, who are on their own.
He hasn't confirmed it.
Yeah.
He hasn't confirmed it because he was asked that by Coogan Cassius last Thursday, and he said that we haven't made a decision yet.
I don't know. I mean, Coppinger's never wrong, though. You know, I mean, your boy Ryan Garcia pulls out of the Javier Fortuna fight. He's taken to social media to announce he's pulled himself out of the fight against Javier Fortuna. He cites wanting to take care of himself physically and mentally. Beeb, I think he's got 99 problems, son. I think he's having girl problems. I feel bad for him, son. He's got 99 problems.
Yeah, Teofimo
Lopez.
Sounds
like girl problems, no?
Teofimo Lopez
got
tweeted something
problems.
Out. Yeah, Teofimo Lopez tweeted something out. I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit, but he said, you know, people don't take mental health seriously. Let the guy get better or whatever.
He's got a lot of pressure on him.
It sounds like he could be having some type of mental issue. I don't know, psychological issue, mental issue, whether it's depression, anxiety. I don't know. So that's why, a lot of people will look at this and they'll criticize and without question, I'm very disappointed, but I really don't want to jump the gun yet and start making accusations towards Ryan Garcia just yet. I want to know exactly what's going on because if he has something clinical that he has to deal with, then he should deal with that.
You think he's got girl problems? I tell you what I heard. What I heard is he got a side chick pregnant. That's what I heard. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard.
In my honest opinion, I think maybe he could. In my honest opinion, I think maybe. Could have some depression issues.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think if it's not girl problems, oh, man.
See what you do? You have to sexualize everything, and people don't like it. Right?
You know, I'm just trying to do a show here, and I get yelled at from the other room. Lisa's yelling at me. She just called me an idiot. You know, it's not my problem. Look, I don't know what's going on with Ryan Garcia. I just know what I'm told. All right? And Beeb told me he got his side chick pregnant, and that's where it was going. All right? That's all I know.
That is just total character. You know, that's
messed up. I agree with you, Beeb. It's messed up.
That's defamation of character.
Right, I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm 100% on your side, Beeb. I agree. Vasyl Lomachenko is going to fight June 26th, and he's facing, this was announced last night on the ESPN card, Masayoshi Nakatani. For those of you who don't know, Nakatani is the one who gave Teofimo all kinds of problems in their fight. He is a tough, tough guy. Who did he knock out last time? Who was the guy he knocked out?
Oh, shit.
And he was losing that. I think he was supposed to lose that fight or something like that. Let me see if I can box record here.
He was behind. I know. I can't remember. I'm so mad that I can't remember the fight.
Yeah, it was a good one, too.
He was behind on the cards. Check that out.
I didn't know. I'm looking him up on...
Verdejo!
That's who it was. You know, I'm looking up on BoxRec. You know how many Nakatanis there are? I had no idea there were that many.
I can't believe I forgot Verdejo. Yeah, it was Verdejo. Verdejo was what were the scores? What were the scores at the time of that stoppage? Yeah, he was down 78-72 and 77-70. He was way behind.
That guy can fight. That guy can fight.
He was way behind in that fight before he got the knockout.
And he's a real tough guy to beat because he's lanky, he's taller, he's strong.
I think he beat Lomachenko.
Oh, stop it, Beeb. What's the matter with you?
I think so.
Just taking a dump all over Lomachenko's career.
No, I think he's too big for him. I think he's going to utilize his. I think he's going to utilize his length. I think his right hand's going to be problematic on Lomachenko.
I got to be honest. It's going to be a good fight. Yeah. I don't know if he beats Lomachenko, but I tell you what,
now,
it's a good fight. That guy is solid.
Yeah. Now Lomachenko, here's a problem. If Lomachenko can't hurt him, he's going to keep coming.
Yes.
And coming and coming and coming, and he's going to force Lomachenko to have to use a lot of energy to move and constantly, you know, move side to side so he doesn't get hit with stuff, right? And eventually he's going to get tired. He can't move the whole fight. What's going to happen when he stops moving? That's when he's going to start getting hit with that right hand.
I think it's going to be interesting, man. I really do.
I'm thinking Nakatani in that one.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's a good fight, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know that Nakatani beats him, but I think it's a real solid fight, man.
Lomachenko should be favored in that fight. Probably, most certainly, will be favored more than likely. But I'm just wondering how big of a favorite he'll be, because that'll be a nice little bet you could make. Put a little side money on that. Not bad. Nothing huge. I'm sure that'll be a good value bet right there.
I don't hate if you're taking Nakatani. I don't hate that pick. Put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 508.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgie.
Hey, yo, I cannot sleep it, bro. I cannot sleep it. I'm not going to lie. My energy's a little low, but I'm going to do my effort. Listen what's happening, people. Yo.
How you doing, Georgie?
Beep.
What's going on, Georgie?
Did you get your vaccine yet?
Hell fucking no, man. Listen.
What do you think? They're going to put a microchip in you?
I'm a pick Lomachenko from the gate. What's up, Beeps? Give you a title shot. Redeem yourself, buddy. Redeem yourself.
I don't have a belt.
That's what I'm saying. I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself.
I'll do a pie bet.
All right, but it's got to be a good pie now, not like your weak pies.
Yeah,
because
we're
going
to have to put you to the sidelines, man, because you cannot be doing these little pies. They ain't cutting it no more.
Damage the eyes.
Not in 2021.
Sunglasses on. Stop it.
Listen, let me talk about these numbers, bro. Listen, Triller is not fair to compare Triller with any other boxing sport, even if it is a pay-per-view. You cannot compare those little pay-per-views. I mean, you put in boxing pay-per-view against a fucking spectacle. Could this motherfucker got rappers? Justin Bieber was on that bitch.
That's right.
He did a very
good
job.
Only half a fucking million was about him. You know what I'm saying?
Ice Cube was there, too. Ice Cube was there. Yay. He was there.
The amount of star power that they got on Triller, baby, these people are going to catch M. There is no way around it. They're going to, probably a few hundred thousand fucking inflated, but who the fuck doesn't do that? Everybody inflated numbers. They all do.
Talk to the knuckleheads on Twitter. Don't tell me. Talk to the knuckleheads on Twitter. Talk to the knuckleheads on Twitter that want to pick and choose who's lying and who's telling the truth.
Nah, they all lie, baby. You know, they all in face shit. That's part of the fucking game.
He does some great calls tonight, man. Everyone's on their game tonight, even Robbie.
Even Robbie.
Nah, I mean, I'm serious, man. Because, I mean, this number shit, you can't really, like, trust it too much because everybody's going to exaggerate the whole thing. So Fuck it, let them lie. The whole thing is that Triller, as an event, it cannot be compared with all the... Do you understand what I'm saying? Triller as an event cannot be compared with boxing.
Actually, you're making a very good point. I will have to concede that. You're making a good point. Because Triller's more of an entertainment
fucking
event.
Yeah.
Listen,
sure.
You're
making an excellent point today.
But check this out. Boxing is not what it used to be. It's just so watered down. The people just migrated to all the shit. It's
right.
So many fucking
right.
shit you can take from the sport until you're like, you know what? Listen, the UFC was on. I saw some leg being broke. I said, yo, the UFC don't disappoint. You hardly see a fucking robbery in that bitch. Those are facts.
That was
a
phenomenal
fact,
card.
I mean, listen,
very enjoyable. Very enjoyable,
very
entertaining
great.
Card.
Boxing is so watered down. Listen, boxing is so watered down, baby. What happened when fucking Jorge fell in the UFC? Who was it that Canelo was fighting on? Kovalev? That they sit down during the fucking fight? One of the biggest style in boxing, if not the biggest style in boxing, have to take a knee on from the UFC. So when people start talking about, they talk about boxing and the numbers and this and that, baby, you're talking about like you on the 80s. You're on the 90s tops. The whole thing changed. Yeah, change, baby. You gotta just take that L, baby. We all gotta take as boxing fan, baby. We're not number one. Get that fucking shit out of your fucking head. It's not.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot to say. I already get the challenge. Hopefully that fight doesn't break through. Oh, about Ryan Garcia, I would like to say, baby, listen.
You hear the same thing I heard about Ryan Garcia?
Now listen, I'm gonna tell you what his problem is. It don't take no fucking scientist to figure that shit out. You are a boxer who want to become a world champion, probably unified. And you got dropped by who? Who he got dropped? You have to say the name again.
Oh,
Luke Campbell.
That will haunt him forever, baby. It's a big shot. You guys don't see it that way.
Wow.
Wow.
How many times I've heard me talking about Luke
Campbell?
Listen, give me a second.
Wow.
I have years talking about Luke Campbell. How these men cannot crack an egg. And you get dropped by Luke Campbell, baby, you know your career's over. You know that. I know that. You guys know that, too. You guys know that shit, too. But somehow your brain block it. I don't know why.
I don't either.
Drop by Luke Campbell, nigga, hang them up. Hang the gloves up. That's the problem right there. Ain't no girl, ain't no this, ain't no that. Luke Campbell dropped me. Guess what? I'm traumatized.
Wow.
Nigga, the day Luke Campbell fucking dropped me, I committed suicide. Nah, let me know. Stop. I didn't mean that. Sorry.
Whoa,
I'm calling deep.
Let me cut the line.
I gotta go. Everybody support the channel. Donate. See you next week. And still.
Can't believe he's giving me a title shot.
Can't believe he's giving anybody a title shot. Hangs on to that stuff like it's money.
Been holding that belt hostage for years.
I know. I tell you what, man. Well, we're going to have to reschedule Omar Juarez. It looks like we got some times mixed up or something like that. Something happened, but that's okay. We'll reschedule, and he'll be back on here shortly.
Not a problem.
He's a nice kid, man. Nice kid.
We like him.
He's all right. Yeah, we like him.
He's a good guy.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see everybody next week.